Hey, you used to think I was hot in high school. I don't care what I try to lie about.
Oh man, so yeah, we're gonna our guest was supposed to be Molly Wood. Apparently something came up once again. I think we're just not a happy place for her. So and then Kent was awful busy, and instead of trying to do a show by myself or grab a last minute guest that's never been on before that might have issues and everything else, I'm just going to open the lines up and hang out for a little bit and kind of shoot the shit and tell you how the week's been, and open the lines if you guys want to call in and share your week or add a little something to it. Feel free to call in ritual.misery. And the only thing I really have planned for tonight is I definitely want to give a shout out to all of our patrons. It's amazing that you guys are so willing to help us out, and it's really good because my mixer just shat out today, so I'm looking probably to have to pick up a new mixer. Yeah, it's awesome. We have 18 people, well, 16 if you don't count the two accounts we have in there, the monitoring, basically, me and Kent. So it's, but even then, we still contribute to our own stuff. And, man, I don't know if that was behind baseball or if I was supposed to say that or not. I don't know. It's been the way.
Probably not.
So, well, the whole thing about, so first of all, chat room, I don't know if I introduced him. This is Squid, my old friend from high school, Sean, and, he's been wanting to come on for a while and we just haven't, it's just been either he's been working when we had an opening or we didn't have an opening and he's been off. So. What the hell? He said, hey, man, if Molly bails out today or something comes up, just let me know. And I let him know, and he showed up. So many thanks to that. He's also one of our proud patrons, or shameful patron. I'm not here to judge. So there's that. And, yeah, I don't know how to explain this.
Well, I do. I know exactly how to explain this because you always do this, and I swear it always happens right about the same time of the year where as soon as that sun starts pouring out a bit, things start warming up, your life goes complete shit for a minute where no matter what you do, you can't get it under control. And you just got to ride out that wave because I swear it's just like it's that signal of it's time to go on vacation.
So a moment of honesty, man, and I've talked to you about this a little bit in the past month or so. This show, well, my presence on this show and my presence pretty much everywhere is probably at the closest point to pod fade or host fade as it's ever been. Just because it's putting on a weekly show and getting guests and things like that is immensely occupying. It's immensely time consuming, and it doesn't seem like it should be because we just come on here and we goof off for an hour, but you figure for every 1 hour show there's probably 5 hours of prep work, and there's another, I've got it down to about 2.5 to 3 hours of post-production if nothing goes wrong, and you got, you know, it's a lot of work. And you want to say, well, the patronage, as much as we appreciate that, you want to say that's, you know, that's a reason, but we've never been, at least, I mean, we've always had the dream of making it big, but it's never been our driving force. It's never been, oh my God, we got to get more patrons. We got to get more people. I'd rather have more people than have more money. That's just how I feel. Cause at least if you're a patron and you're given a dollar an episode and you got it capped at $1, you give a shit.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really all we want is for people to give a shit and enjoy our conversations. And Kent's, Dark Redeemer asked where Kent is. He is actually, I think, sleeping right now. No.
That's not true, man. You don't tell him the truth. You know, no, I put him in the closet.
He's trapped in the closet right there.
Yeah.
He just came on. Yeah. Rabbit Magic said you should take after Schwood and Jury. You didn't do any prep work. Have you listened to the first 40 episodes of this show? they were awful. Kent, actually, he's been so busy that he and I haven't talked. We didn't do our typical weekly pre-show meeting, so I don't know what's going on with him and his life right now, but he said he is just completely exhausted. And then, Dark Radio, where they have Neshcom take up the slack to come up with the games and do a lot of the side work and back-end work and things like that. And then me with the surgery, man, it's rough. It's hard to have a surgery and like be in pain, and then you take medication to get away from the pain, but then it takes your mental acuity out of it, because like even right now I'm a little bit high. Hey, the Chris Farrell showed up from the Gunna Geek Network.
Yeah,
happy to see you.
That is awesome.
It's at one of those points where. I didn't get a chance to talk to Kent about this, so this is nothing official, but I am actually looking at taking on, as right now, so far, an unpaid intern, somebody who really wants to help out, that can do some work on the back end and maybe fill in once in a while, things like that, but someone who wants to get their feet wet in podcasting maybe, but doesn't necessarily want to be in front of the camera or on the mic.
Just pay $10 on Patreon and you get to be our intern. we'll treat you like shit, yell at you, and tell you how bad you're fucking up, but then tell you, oh, we love you to death.
No. The Night Attack's already got that covered. and they pay Neshcom way better than we could pay anybody. But if that's something if that's something someone's interested in, man, I've got, like, because it's just a matter, there's some of the most tedious shit. Like, Sean, you mentioned earlier today that we haven't done the pre and post shows in a while. Well, the reason for that is not just because there's not a whole lot going on. It's basically we've been getting on, doing the show, and getting off. but even when there is stuff, it's just it's almost like a whole other project to get done. So
exactly. Let me ask you this, because I got to ask you this, because I lost track of you for a long, long time. Have you ever done an internship?
No, I've been in the military my entire adult life. Like, if you see, that's practically an internship for the first few years before you actually get a paycheck that'll pay a bill.
No, that's not an internship. That's a lesson in how to screw up your life in about 30 seconds. No, I'm not. I love the military. I love everything that everybody serves does. I have nothing but respect. But the moment my boots hit that deck and I got off that bus, and then I have a Marine in my face going, "Rrr!" I was like, what the hell did I get myself into?
Yeah.
And then when I sat in there, I got through boot without a problem. It's just like, how long am I doing this? 4 more years? Why'd I do this myself?
Yeah.
But no, I actually did an internship, and that's like one of the most tedious, unthanked jobs you could ever do, because not only you're doing everything that everybody else does but gets paid for, you're doing it for free, plus you're grabbing everybody their coffees.
That just seems the stupidest thing to me.
It is. But no, if you do it right, you could grab an intern. An intern would be awesome for you guys. And yeah, burnouts happen. Not everybody can be Chris Trippy. I mean, the guy's been doing that for his setup for what, 9 years now? Coming up 9-10 years straight every day, even while getting brain surgery? That's insanity.
Yeah.
Everybody else said, no, please take a break. And there's a lot of podcasters, a lot of shows. I mean, everybody has a hiatus time where they take a few weeks and say, we're down for a couple of weeks. We're going to recoup. I'm going to enjoy life for a minute. Remember why I'm doing this and get back to it.
The thing is about this, I'm not burnt out on the show. I still love the show. I have lost no affection for the show. It's just a matter of the time commitment to put the show together. And I'm working on other projects too. And it's kind of like a a congruence of it's like a perfect storm because Kent's got 10 million things going on right now, so he's not in the game. He's absent, at least partially absent right now. And then with my surgery and my daughter, she broke her ankle. I don't know if you caught that part of it, but so she's she's like the moaning Lisa right now. She just lays in the chair and just moans because she's in pain. Like they ended up in not one screw. They ended up putting 8 screws in her ankle and a permanent rope band.
I thought it was only going to be like 3 it
looks like a fucking hardware store in there, man. Like it's completely crazy. So she's not all that with it and stuff like that. So that's like a quarter of our house right now is on crutches. A full quarter, and we don't have a small household. There's like just 2 million things going on right now. So like tonight when we have this major guest that we've been waiting for and hoping for and planning for and everything is a go until it's not. And then you have, which would be fine if Kent was going to be there to pick up the slack, because he and I, like we can bounce ideas off each other. We have a certain flow. And one of my favorite episodes we've ever done was 127 a couple weeks ago. And it was just him and I talking story. And it was really great. And not to take away from any of the amazing guests we've had, but it was nice to get back to that core of just him and I with a list of topics that we've gathered through the week. And then, and you volunteered. You were like, hey, man, if Molly doesn't come in tonight, let me know. And I'm on. And I was like, that'd be great. But, man, I don't know. There's a certain, like, if I'm on my little Percocets, and then to have someone who's never done this show before come in and be the co-host, I wasn't prepared for that tonight. So I was like, you know what? Let's do a call-in. Have Sean on. He can meet chat room since he lives in SoCal and probably never get out to South By and stuff like that.
Oh, No. I got plans, brother. I got plans. In fact, I already reserved a time off of work. I already put in for a week right about that point. Because I got a couple of plans, and if I can get them to move as smoothly as I can, I'm actually going to make sure I'm out there with my still in beta shirt. Because I'm going to make sure I'm wearing that beta shirt, because you know what? I still don't think you guys made that out of beta.
This episode, this show tonight might prove that. And Jackie, if you want to call in and talk some booking blues, lines are open. Just let me know and I can call you or whatever else. You can do audio only. I don't care. Like shoots. I'm not one to judge.
Speaking of which, while I just saw Stargate Pioneers in here, dude, I actually read everything that you were talking about. I mean, immediately, cause I listen whenever I'm sitting in my car during my lunches and on my way to work. So, like, while I'm decompressing from my job, my super high-stress job, and I'm decompressing, I'm listening to you guys and going, thank God I'm not doing that. But I was like, immediately, I was like, okay, okay, oh, I see what he's talking about. Oh, I see what he's talking about. So I delved into the realm of hobby podcasting, and it's like, dude, this is the same thing I was doing when I was on radio. So I made the mistake of buying a microphone last week. I bought this webcam today. I got a mixer coming in, I think, in 3 weeks because I've learned well from my job how to buy things extremely super cheap.
Yeah. And let me say, like, just by the way, for your first time on camera on this show, your lighting is fucking spot on.
Oh, yeah. That's because I went out and bought these two set of – I'll show it to you. I won't blind the camera. But I got these, I found on med.com, they were having a sale for like two of these for like $6.
Yeah.
And they're bright as hell.
Yeah.
So I was like,
Chris Farrow would like to know what mic you bought.
I bought it from, straight from China, app, one of those, I think it's called Wish. Where it was like $18, but it came with like a moving stand and a pop filter and a really cheap. Oh, yeah, I know 3-point lighting. I did film for a while. I was just trying to be smart.
I have 2-point lighting if you don't count my window back there, which, by the way, it's like 6:30 at night. It's officially not getting dark here anymore. So
that's right. You live in the land of the no sun or no wind or no nighttime.
Yeah, we're officially in the no nighttime part. I have 2 LED lights that are basically shining outward from my desk. They're little clamp-ons that I got for like $8 each at Walmart, and they're shining on the walls to the side of the room and then bouncing back. And it just with the light from the monitors, it makes a nice feel. I mean, I'm never gonna look good, but at least I don't have shadows all over my face.
Exactly. And that's like one of the worst things. I remember my first student film that I did when I decided, hey, let's do this thing where I go to college and apply for like 10 loans and spend them all on a short film that's going to be super horrible. I'm never going to make a cent off of, and waste $20,000 instantly. So in which case, one of the things I did, it was like I was thinking I was being avant-garde. So I'd like, covered this half of the face in complete black, and everybody just said it looks like his nose is coming out of his butthole. What the hell?
Sergey Pioneer says, try the Knox podcast microphone. It's only $40 and gives you that great Amos sound. I don't know about that. Like, I did two interviews earlier today. Two episodes of Undaunted earlier today. Recorded those. And one was from a dude in the UK or Britain or what do we call them now? I never figured it out before Brexit. Now I'm just lost again. But
okay, they're still the UK because they're still the United Kingdom because they still have Australia, Canada, and the
Ireland, Scotland,
Ireland. Ireland, Scotland, all those guys.
Well,
so
part
still
of Ireland
the UK.
And Scotland.
Northern Ireland and Wales. And Scotland is still a part
of... So the UK is actually Britain, Wales, yeah. And Scotland, I think, is the actual UK. I don't know. It's a CGP video that I haven't seen in a while.
The UK is all of Britain, all of Great Britain. Great Britain is Northern Ireland, Scotland, Wales, and England itself. UK includes Canada and Australia and all of their little takeovers, that commonwealths that they still hold.
Are you sure?
Then you got Britain itself, which is just England.
I don't know. What the?
See, this is what happens when you spend way entirely too much time on YouTube watching stupid stuff and then going to trivia nights and saying, oh, I know all this stuff, and waste your time.
We just had a call in, and I couldn't get to it in time.
Oh, try again.
Yeah, yeah.
Do it again.
Definitely try, or just send me a contact request, and I'll add you, and then add you to the call from there. There we go. Let's see here. I'm not good at this. Hello?
Mahoy.
Oh, ha, ha, ha. There we go. Let me see if I see if I can get this all added in. Here, we'll do that, and then I'll call you right back.
Dan Bohr.
Okay. There we go. Holy shite, man!
Yay!
I am not good at this game. And we'll go down here and we'll do this.
That's why I moved from I actually see everything now. Holy crap. I look like trash.
There we go. Just do that.
Where's the Jackie?
And I think we have a win. I think we're winning. Are we winning right now? I think we're winning. Is everyone here?
I think that'll work.
There we go. There you are. How are you today?
Whoa!
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yep, it's been one of them weeks.
Yeah. So those who don't know, tell them who you are.
My name is Molly Wood. Yeah, I work for NPR.
And hi,
this
Molly.
Is how
My
I sound. Yes, we have wonderful processing over at NPR. It makes me sound all dainty.
I was really hoping you'd go there with that. Oh, man. So this is Big Voice Jay right here.
Yes, sir.
Oh, this is the infamous Jay.
Yes. If you didn't recognize the voice, he's the one that's in, I believe, all of our bumpers, but... Dark Radio was still on the Ireland is the UK thing, and yeah, I'm telling you, that's all in flux, too, because they're all voting and stuff, and nobody's happy with anything right now, so...
Well, Ireland's been trying to get out of the UK for so long, and it's Scotland that had its chance and screwed that up all to hell, where right. they actually had their... Britain was like, yeah, if you guys want to leave, just vote that you want to leave. And then nobody voted.
Jay, how's your week been other than the...
Well, I'll tell you what. We've got a whole bunch of newfound, newborn hockey fans in our fair city. Now suddenly is a freaking expert. Well, it's really great because the bandwagoners are just marking out because our little town's in the playoffs this year. And the OG Preds fans are like, I was there when there were only 12 people in the stadium. You know, and it's like, it's great.
And I was going to wear my hockey jersey today, too.
Sean, as a 49ers fan, you don't know anything about not
whoa,
having...
Whoa.
Too early. Come on now.
No, not that. No. Let me tell this story. So, yes, Amos is correct. There was a time where I liked it, where I was a 49ers fan and I was a Patriots fan. My dad's a deep hard, straight from Boston.
He's deep hard?
Loved the man. Yeah. So, when you came in, you only watched Celtics play. When the Celtics were playing the Lakers, you watched them. You rooted for the Celtics. You rooted for the Red Sox. You rooted for just the Bruins. You rooted for the Patriots. But when I was away and I'd go over to Tony's house, I was allowed to root for San Francisco. My dad, my brothers, and everybody sat me down and said, you can only have one master. You either choose Boston or you choose San Francisco. And they gave me the hard, stern look like, we're not going to talk to you again if you choose San Francisco. So I switched over to straight Boston.
I don't know, man. I've met your dad. I would be like, that's your out right there.
Oh, I know. I'm
be like, nope.
Man, so...
Well, what's really great is that... this is the only time you really want to turn on the local news is when there's a big sporting event in your city, because everybody goes wall to wall, and I mean wall to wall. We got the sky cams, we got mm-hmm. the jib cameras, we've got reporters all over the place talking to the vendors, talking to the guy painting his face yellow for some unknown reason. We're talking to the guy that just rolled up in the park blasting Lee Bryce or whatever bro country hit of the day is that they know Yeehaw. They can't pay for. Yeah. And they go on into the night. So it's good TV.
My favorite thing about having a big sporting event in my city, in the few times I've lived in a city big enough to have a actual sporting event, is when it's an indoor sporting event, like in a dome, in a stadium. There's no skylights or anything else on the place that's being played, and the Goodyear blimp is outside taking pictures of the roof. That's my favorite.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah, I just never
understood that. We're having fun in Los Angeles now that we got the Rams back, and watching all these people that, you know, for years screamed, oh, fuck the Rams, fuck the Raiders, traitorous bastards, right? And all of a sudden they go, oh, Rams are coming to Los Angeles. Everybody, all of a sudden, all these Rams hats, shirts, stickers, flags start going up. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, we love the Rams now.
Now, you're in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah.
Has there been any clamoring for an NFL team?
Oh, fuck yeah, there has.
Yeah.
Really?
It was bad. There was no worse when the Raiders and Rams left in the same year. I mean, LA died.
It was weird because at one time you couldn't get anybody in the stadium because everybody wanted to go to both games. So, yeah. You know, it just wouldn't work out because you had, you know, every family was divided between the two teams. And then all of a sudden they were gone and everybody in LA, like, sighed this miserable, hateful sigh. And, you know.
The worst part was when you went to the Coliseum for a Raiders game. Because you did not know if you're going to make it out alive, especially if you were on the left side, top row of the Coliseum, because that was the death point. Because someone's either going to try to throw you over or knock you all the way down.
Yeah,
because they were rowdy then.
Well, I mean, for what it's worth, they carried that tradition on when they went up to Oakland because you barely survived the parking lot over there.
Well, Oakland, you really knew you had a 50-50 chance of getting out. See, and that's why I love the Oakland Dog Pound.
Yeah, but it was nothing compared to when I went to Candlestick, though. Woo!
I don't know. Candlestick would scare me as going to crack in half again.
Between freezing. Dude, it was scary because it was cold there. I mean, cold all the time because you had that wind that came down. They actually had seat warmers just so you would actually stay longer than the fifth inning of a game.
Well, if you're watching baseball, there's something else wrong with you. Have I told you lately how much I hate baseball?
You tell me that every time we talk and anytime you even remotely hear the word baseball, how boring baseball is. Go to a game. I keep telling you that.
I've been to games.
They were fun, weren't they?
No. First of all.
Well, you know what? I may have to side with are you Amos or Del Noche? I don't remember which.
Amos.
Okay. I may have to side with Amos here. And this is purely from a... keeping my attention standpoint, because baseball does move slowly. And it's slow and deliberate. And if you're not listening to it on the radio where you can at least have some sort of chatter in your ear, you are going to fall asleep.
Baseball is like, so there's what, 9 innings. So you've got, do my math here, 17 intermissions. 17 intermissions. And one of them is like the big intermission. Like when you're waiting, when the highlight of your afternoon is waiting for the seventh inning stretch, and you're like, oh, we're going to get a full intermission. It's going to be, come on, man. It's like going to the Super Bowl and waiting for the halftime show. If you're waiting for the halftime show, you don't want to watch that Super Bowl. That's just not what you're there for. And every game of baseball is that way. Until you get to like playoffs and like deep into like very late September and into October, that's the only time that baseball has any appeal at all.
Well, I would say look at the surrounding experiences in the stadium. When the stadium has put a lot of money into the Wi-Fi, the concessions, the seats, everything else that would, A, make you comfortable, because you know you're going to be there for a couple hours. It really means that we really have got to do something to get you amped up for the game, because you can't get amped up reclining with the belly full of nachos or whatever it is you like to nosh on.
Well, at least it's better than going to a basketball game. A basketball game, you sit there up to the last 2 minutes, bored as hell, because they're just like screwing around and they don't remotely even try to play until the very, very end of the fourth quarter. Then you're like, oh, they're playing basketball now. Okay, let's watch.
The problem with basketball, though, is that you spend less money and take less time going to see a bad movie, and you'd have just as much drama and better acting.
Yeah, you always got to go. You always got to strike up a conversation with Spike Lee. Won't shut up. I'll tell you what.
it just kills me. I watch soccer. I don't watch professional soccer. I don't watch anything that's televised. I watch my kids play soccer. And I have an emotional connection to the game inherent in the fact that my children are playing the game. If it wasn't for that, I would not watch soccer, because there's so much flopping and there's so much just slow-paced Like, there's hardly ever a score. But I tell you what, I'd still rather watch soccer on a bad day with half the team gone than sit and watch basketball again until it gets to the playoffs.
The insurmountable 0-0 score. Oh, riveting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When you
soccer's problem is that its field is too large and it's not on fire.
I always thought the same thing. They need to add some form of urgency or danger to soccer. Liven that thing up, like random like mines buried where if that ball hits it or you step on it, poof, gone.
Yeah.
Look, I'm going to tell you right now, the propaganda is not working. Everybody in Hollywood, your neck of the woods over there, keeps saying soccer is the right choice, the wise choice, the proper choice. No, it's not. As long as you're in a large field with nothing going on, no wonder the soccer people overseas throw skulls and stuff on the field. They're bored.
Well, it sits there, mumble, 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 and we've said, and they're talking about random stuff. You could read from a dictionary, and everybody's like, okay, that's fine. Just keep talking. Then all of a sudden, I'd be like, goal! For like 20 minutes. You just hear, oh!
Well, they have to be excited because it just only happens like once or twice. You know, so to fix soccer, this is all you have to do. Soccer's simple, super simple. You want to fix soccer, all you have to do is get rid of that stupid offsides rule, allow some cherry picking, some scores are going to go up, and it's going to change the entire back end of the game, which is, you know, when a team is backed down into their goal area, that's going to be a lot more exciting because you're going to have to do some action. You can't just sit and wait. If there's a dude that's down there that doesn't have to worry about being offsides and all that crap. You just that one thing and it makes soccer so much more exciting.
It's even simpler than that. Insert hockey rules. Get rid of the yellow card. Get rid of the red card. Where, okay, if you flop hard enough, you're going to get the player kicked out for 2 games. Screw that. Put them in a penalty box. Keep the game moving. If you end up flopping, you get kicked out of the game for 2 games.
Mm. Yeah, but see, if you can try to get rid of flopping, you can fix basketball too, but that's not going to happen.
And if all else fails, you can throw a catfish on the ice.
There you go. Just start flipping some catfish out on the ice or out on the field, out on the pitch on soccer. That way there's
and
obstacles
of course,
in the way.
You know, it was one of our folks from one of the Predators fans just chucked a big old catfish on the ice. Mm-hmm. I don't know how he managed to get it in there. He must have been wearing some very large pants because you can't bring a bag in the arena.
He didn't wash for several days and it just kind of covered up the smell.
Well, I would assume he had a few vacation days coming up because that, you know, you don't bring fish in the office. But it really blew up on this side of town because you had the mayor, we have various celebrities, the country folks who live here, and they said, oh, we love fish and all this and that. I saw I don't remember where this was. They had a few live shots during the team coverage for good old boys naked, well, shirts off, holding gigantic catfish. One of them was pouring in a Red Bull or something. No, it was a Budweiser. Was pouring a Budweiser into the fish and then got himself a knockoff it after he was done.
Well, I mean, you know, again, I'm just looking at the bright side of things. If you pour a Budweiser into a fish, the Budweiser has now been improved.
Yes, agreed. Agreed. Finally, someone understands. I hate Budweiser.
Okay. Yeah.
Hilarious.
Just so gross.
But the one thing I'm afraid of, the one thing I'm afraid of is the football fans, which means the Tennessee Titans fans, are now Nashville Predators fans, and they're bringing their bad luck with them. Nashville is now 2 games down in a best of 7 series. And now they're coming into a home game with a 2-game headwind. So, I mean,
and that's,
we can't have that.
And that's why it's great to be a Bruins fan.
All right, that's it. I'm out of here.
All right. Thanks for stopping by, Jay.
Don't tell me I chased you off with that.
No, I think I'll make room for Jackie. I think she's trying to get in. I'll see y'all later.
All right, man.
Hey, Jay.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I got to thank you. I got to thank you for those little jingles you did for Amos, dude. Those things tickled me pink when I first heard them. Can I borrow you so I can? I'm going to borrow just your voice. I'm just going to have like a phone set up right by me and it's Bluetooth speaker and just go out to random places and let you talk for me.
I don't know if we have the technology for that.
Yes, we do. Jay's yes, like, we do, because I got it sitting right here. I can carry this puppy everywhere I go and pump your voice through it.
I think,
and just mouth the words.
I think by technology, he means time.
Are you going to start calling me Alexa? Because if you do...
I was going to go with Sonia, let's go with Alexa. That works.
I do not have eyes for Sonia. Good day, sir.
Good day, sir.
Y'all have a good night. We'll
you
see you.
Too. Thank you for stopping by. Oh, man.
Oh, that was a riot. Oh, it's great to finally hear him. I see him like pop up there and just like to actually hear him speak. It's even better.
Let's see. Let's do this little thing right here where we take that and add so-and-so to the, there we go. Oh, and she's providing the video.
Ooh.
What?
Oh, look at that.
You don't have to put my video up. It's fine.
It just works better that way. So,
someone's got to look better than two of us.
No, there's no way. You guys look so much better than I do.
Jackie, please. How are you doing this week?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right. I'm presenting to you as my call-in. I've got two options. I can talk about booking blues.
Something we definitely know about. And
the other thing that's hot on my mind, hot, is the Wonder Woman stuff.
Oh.
And, you know.
Okay, hold up. Please don't spoil it because I did not get a chance to go see it this weekend.
I have not seen Wonder Woman either.
Oh,
and
then spoil
it
away.
I fully intend to, but like the whole surrounding the world of, you know, in your satin tights, fighting for your rights.
Is it really a thing that people are getting pissed off that she shaved her armpits? Is that like really a thing?
Yeah, really? That is like, okay, it's become this thing now where all of a sudden, in order to prove that you side with any feminist, you have to go all out and say that you're all the way over there. So that means no more, you know, she shouldn't shave her legs, shouldn't shave her armpits. She has to be all natural. And the fact that she wears like corset style uniform.
Didn't we settle this with Linda Carter?
Yeah. I thought so.
Look, I'm just, so this, I'm going to give my two cents here because I feel obliged. I am not only perfectly fine, I support and am not detracted by the periods of time during which my wife doesn't shave her legs or her armpits.
Oh my God.
Like, it's okay. I understand why women do that. That it's because Gillette wanted to sell more razors back in the early 1900s. And they convinced Vogue to run an ad in which women had their arms raised and it was clean shaven. And I understand the whole psychology of it. I think it's completely stupid that there's this standard in America and westernizing nations that women have to have shaved legs and shaved armpits. It's completely stupid.
This is not the conversation I thought I was calling in on.
No, it's never the conversation you're calling in on.
Welcome to Ritual Misery.
We haven't stuck to anything yet.
So
because that's one of the weird things, because I had two exes. One could not stand if she did not shave her entire body, because she always felt like it was always catching, like her long sleeve shirts were always catching on her arm hair, or she would like her leggings or whatever would catch and it'd drive her nuts.
Okay, I'm just gonna wait for this to pass, because, you know, all I know is I live 70% of the year I live in Burbank, and when you arrive in California at from another state, there's actually a checkpoint for women that you don't know about, and at that checkpoint, they check to make sure that you're fully shaven.
She's not lying. Burbank is like that.
Come on, and it's the same in Miami. Have you not seen those bikini places in the airport? Yeah. That's what they're there for. They're like, no, go down to Terminal C, make sure that you get, you know. And no, I'm full of shit. No, I don't like the conversation for me for Wonder Woman would be about, like, there's been a lot of weird feedback, a lot of, like, apparently the movie's great. And everyone's like, oh my God, finally a DC movie that's actually great. And I thought Superman Batman was great. Okay, all right. Am I getting too dirty? Huh?
I like Superman Returns. I don't care what anybody says.
No. That's what I'm saying. I loved it. You know, I absolutely loved it. I've enjoyed everything that's come out of it. And so, like, now the conversation is that, oh, apparently it's so much better. However, you know, there's all this other, like, stuff surrounding the Wonder Woman movie. And, you know, and one of the things is there's an Austin theater. I think it's is it the Draft House? I'm not sure.
Yeah, they're doing a full women's only show.
Yeah. Which I think is complete bullshit. Like, why do a woman's only? But that's fine. If you want to do a thing. It doesn't fucking matter. Like, why is this even, like, the news of the movie coming out? So that's my Wonder Woman stuff, and I'll let you guys run with it if you want to or not.
Oh, no.
I'll just add in that I'm stoutly against anyone, to include myself, that takes themselves too seriously.
Yeah.
When I do it, people call me out on it, and I'm like, you know what? You're right. And I just, anybody that takes themselves and any demographic that they fall into too seriously is just get over yourself and move on with life. And I don't know how that necessarily applies to all that, but that's what I felt like saying.
Well, I mean, I think it's stupid to do one that's exclusive, because, I mean, there are a lot of people that may not fit the physical profile of a woman, but fit the at least the mental or the their outlook on life is female, but they might have a penis. Why can't they be a part of it? You know, I mean, they might just as equally be in the same kind of category as the little girl I was when I grew up being a Wonder Woman fan and dressed up as Wonder Woman for Hollywood. You know, I mean for Halloween, not Hollywood.
For all of Hollywood.
I'm sorry.
I can see a 10-year-old Jackie dressed up as Wonder Woman on Hollywood Boulevard trick-or-treating.
You're not getting candy, little girl.
You know what? Jackie's right around the corner for me. I can grab a camera. I can watch it happen. We can make that happen.
All right.
What else go ahead. Go ahead, Sean.
Here's the thing that I question, and I like the idea. Yeah, no problem with the women's only event. I don't care. It's not that big of an issue. But the fact is that they are forcing a movie that's remotely far from a politicized. It's a comic book meant to entertain and inspire, and they are forcing everything on this movie there should not be this much pressure on a movie to solve the world's problem.
Absolutely. And I guess that's my point, is that why this movie? Why
How would the reaction be different if it was a men-only viewing of Wonder Woman?
Oh, it'd be horrible. We've already seen that one happen.
That's what I'm saying.
But it's the same. It's the same either way. Right. Like, I don't care what kind of viewing it is. Like, it's the same thing. Like, it doesn't make any goddamn sense. Mm. You know? I mean, agreed. Like, to have... If you have, like, a woman's organization that wants mm-hmm. to buy out the theater and do a private screening,
yeah.
then I hope that female organization would allow some male participants. And if you're a part of that organization, like, I mean, like, I like to exclude a particular group because of something, I think is...
And that's
I almost kind of feel like it's a conspiracy. Like, it's a conspiracy to make a news story, to draw attention in some way. Like,
Wait a minute. We haven't had a major crime against a woman. Where people are going to forget about women needing protection. We need to create this big story so that way it upsets everybody. Let's, Wonder Woman shaved her arms.
Okay. I mean,
that's what it seems like.
You know, okay, but there are many, numerous horrible things that are happening to women that are in the news every minute that we're speaking. You know,
but they're taking away from those things. Those things need to be reported on, exactly. need to be told, and saying
exactly. Like, who gives a fuck? Who goes to a movie theater and watches a goddamn movie? Hmm.
What was your other topic, Jackie?
Okay. You're right.
Well, because we're all at the point where we're all agreeing. We're just adding more flame to the fire we're already dancing around. So
that's fine. I just thought there was a lot of Wonder Woman, you know, if we're going to talk nerdy and geek stuff. So, I guess the other thing was just the, you know, I thought I could bring the booking blues.
Oh, yes. So what is your worst booking story?
Here's the thing that I would say is that sometimes there's that person that you want to book and you book them and they say they can do it. And then they don't respond to the last minute and you do everything you can to get them. And then you postpone booking other people. So you might go a week or two without a guest because you're just waiting and waiting. And, you know, I would say, like, particularly in your situation, is to just, like, maybe, I don't know, have them on call or have it as an on-call situation where whoever is booked knows that they might have to share the space or the time and or even be bumped. Like, say, for example, if you booked me next week, I would
don't
be
don't say that. You know he's going to do that now.
No, he won't. I've been on too much. No, but
Amos's balls, man. Amos's balls on that one.
No, but then you just tell that person, look, you just gotta know that if this works out at the last minute, we have to bump you, but we will get you on immediately, you know, as soon as possible. But you gotta just get you have to kind of just kind of move forward and just go, you know, just make that a kind of an on-call situation. And I've had situations where I've double booked and then I thought, oh shit, son, like, do I ask both of them if they're okay with both of them being guests, you know, at the same time? And you know, god, it sucks
When you're booked for a show, is there an expectation that it is a solo booking? Like, is that because I've never been booked on a show that wasn't just, hey, we're going to record at this time. It's just going to be me and you, you know?
Yeah, right. So, no, I don't think so. And, you know, I would think in your situation, like, if there's a particular person that you want to book, if they're good friends with another person who's a friend of yours that is of kind of the same sort of, you know, status, whatever, in our world, like, just kind of book them both at the same time. Yeah. And then chances are one of them will show up if the other one's there, and they're pals, and they know, oh, hey, I'm going to be there because my friend, you know, I don't want to name names, you know, right. Like you just kind of put them at the same place at the same time.
John's got to be there because Jimmy's going to be there, and they go way right. back. Yeah.
Yeah. That helps as well. Like,
I mean, that's what we did with Tom Merritt and Scott Johnson. We kind of booked both of them, hoping that sure. they both show up, and kind of almost expecting one to drop out, and then they both went out of their way to make it. So
yes, they did.
Yeah,
yeah. During a sports ball game, right? Yeah,
it was during
World Series.
The World Series was going on, and because Tom was there for the World Series, it was during the World Series, so Tom was a little bit late, and then Scott was actually at the beginnings of BlizzCon. So he was having some issues as well. He was actually on hotel Wi-Fi and Skyped it in audio only so that we didn't have a chance of the video dropping out and stuff. So,
I will bounce out to let you guys move on to your next topic or whatever, but well, if you don't need me around, but
no one else is threatened to call in, so.
What'd you say?
I said no one else has threatened to call in.
Oh, well, you can bring Jay back. He's amazing.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, we could listen to his voice for hours, you know. The final thing I wanted to say is I'm so damn impressed with what you guys have done. Like, it's been almost a year now since you started your 100th celebration, mm-hmm. right? Am I right? Like, mm-hmm. that was, yep. like, September-ish?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you still, the momentum of the people you're bringing in absolutely floors me. Like, and I just wanted to say, congratulations, guys, and damn it. Like, even though you're going, like, in the last couple of weeks with kind of waiting really patiently for a particular guest, like it seems like you guys, like Jesus Christ, you guys, regardless of that, like you do a damn good job, and you do a much better job than what I do for somebody who, like, you know,
come on, Jackie,
I'm not booking.
Stop selling yourself short on that. You know, you're just awesome.
No. But I'm not talking about my show. I'm talking about booking for somebody else that has a good name status that it's hard for me to do that, and I'm just fucking floored, like, about what you guys have been able to do. So that's all I want to say.
I'll tell you this though, having this little, because right now I don't think we have anybody locked in for any dates right now. Well, no, we do. I do have one, and
yeah,
that's gonna be awesome, but that's in like late July, because Kent is usually the one that does all the booking, and he's been out of pocket with personal stuff for a while. So I did some reaching out this weekend, and I got people that just randomly, like, I don't know. I got Stephen L. Rose, mm-hmm. from Microsoft, the lead guy on OneDrive. I just reached out to Twitter, ooh. And said, hey, you want to come geek out for an hour? And he's like, psh, yeah, let's do it.
What? Can he do Core Killers?
So, I reached out to them. I reached out to everybody on the list of Amos's Balls. I reached out to all of them again this weekend on every platform I could. I even went to PewDiePie's booking company, his professional Ooh. Booking company, and reached out to them. Like, I'm doing everything I can with that without getting arrested for you know, threatening people. But yeah, it's if nothing else, it's making me reach out to different directions, that, you know, and we still have people like Mike TV was dying to come on, and we just haven't had a chance to get him on. Jaime, wants to come on.
Oh yeah.
And, that's going to be, that'd be great. I'd love to have him on the show. And several other people, fucking Dual Core was like, yeah, I'll come on, man. That'd be great. You know,
oh, wow.
I say awesome. Dual Core, but we all know that I'm just talking about the dude that raps, not the dude that does the music. I should probably figure that one out before I call him up. But yeah. I mean, we have all these things coming down the pipes, and of course we love having this central hub of Diamond Club and all the information and all the great guests we're getting from here. But we do want to expand out and see who else we can get in, and you know, especially with me doing Undaunted again, which was one of my show topics for this week. I've done, I think, 12 Undaunted interviews in the last week and a half.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's almost double the number of shows that I have released from the first run.
I think, isn't the first one you only had one interview?
No, it was 7 or 8. Because Tom Merritt was the last one that I did, and that's kind of when it lost steam, is because the scheduling when I was in Korea was just... just ridiculous.
That's what it was because I fell off and I was like, okay, I was got really busy.
So and by the way, thank you for your help on just your pointers and stuff like that on how to get guests and just to reach out there and just grab them, Jackie.
Well, thank you. Of course. I mean, anything I can do. I heard you guys, are you talking earlier that you need an intern, you need someone to do something. if I can help in any way, let me know. I mean, I don't know what I can do or you
just
know.
Just $5.99 on Patreon, you get to be an intern.
Exactly.
That's exactly not what we're talking about, by the way. I don't know how that came out to be like, oh yeah, if you're a patron, we're gonna get you as an intern. I'll tell you what I'm looking for. I'm looking for somebody that listens to the show each week and wants to get the behind the scenes access to get into the show notes after they've been published and kind of just add some stuff to it for SEO purposes and we're getting emails from companies that we've mentioned on the show asking if they could come on the show or if we would review one of their products and do some cross promotion. So somebody that can go in there and add some depth to it. Someone that can go in with the raw file and be like, here's the post show. I'm going to post it for you. You know, just stupid little things like that we just, it probably, I mean, especially if you're watching the show each week anyway, then if you want to have an active role into it, and maybe you can't afford to be a patron, but you can spend an hour a week. Then
absolutely.
Fuck it. I got the thing for you. I mean, we can hook that up. We can make that happen, you know?
Here's the other point that I would say, you know, since my time booking for Cord Killers, I've been approached by several different very popular podcasting networks and you know, not just on like LinkedIn or other places, but I don't want to drop their names, but of people looking for someone who can book, and honestly, the amount of time it takes me to book for Cord Killers is nothing. It takes none of my time, really. Mm. Like it is just a regular. It's part of my regular email routine where I go in every day and I make sure I'm checking my email for work purposes and my own real life stuff, and then I check Cord Killers and I find out, you know, and I send an email back. So I would strongly recommend if anybody is interested in getting into that kind of realm where they're booking. This is the way to build your resume. Start off by volunteering, like I have with Cord Killers. Mm. Volunteer and do some hours and put it in. And it takes nothing of your time. But then, you know, Geek and Sundry will be calling you. Other people will be, like, knocking on your door. It doesn't take that long. You know, so, that's the kind of approach I would... you know, give to the people who might be interested in helping you guys out, because you guys got a legitimate podcast going here. You're going very strong. You've got great guests. I'm sorry.
Let me ask you a question really quick, Jackie.
Sure.
You've been at this game for a while, and I kind of followed you. And thanks to Amos here, I delved into everything, especially I follow all the guests that he has on, especially the one with the puppets. But what do you think you could have grabbed, like, from being an intern? Where do you think it could have helped you out with your podcast career if you would have had a chance at starting off of like making phone calls or answering emails.
Well, I think that's exactly what I was saying as well. Is that it? I've had people knocking on my door in different directions where, you know, yeah, some worked, some didn't, and maybe I had the time or I didn't have the time, but. Certainly as a podcaster, you know, if anything, I've gotten extra follows on Twitter. I've gotten extra people. And then when I'm doing my own podcast, they know who I am. You know, there are people that are following me. It gives me more exposure on my own creative end. So, I mean, it's like, even though I've done a whole lot of stuff for free, I'm getting back so much more, you know, and that's the kind of thing, you know, that's the kind of thing with any kind of creative adventure that you want to start, that you need to be willing to do a lot up front for free. As long as it doesn't take away from your ability to create and do your own projects. Mm. So, I definitely...
By the way, getting into podcasting in and of itself is something you're going to do for free.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
If not 100%. at measurable cost, if you don't have the equipment, you're in at least a couple hundred dollars just to make sure that you got the right internet speed and the right, you know, however you want to put it, with the microphone and stuff like that. Microphone, webcam, and, you know, just that alone, that's $100. So.
But Amos, you mean that these, you know, companies aren't going to knock down my door, try to find me, and give me lots of money? I'm actually going to have to put work into it.
Man, yeah. We're 3 years in. We're still hoping to break the 100 downloads per episode mark. So, it's a slow burn. It's you kind of play that game, and I got so frustrated at having low numbers on the downloads because it's not a matter of. I want to have thousands. I just want to see growth. That the numbers were small enough that the smallest, if we got two fewer downloads on this episode, it was a percentage decrease. And I got tired of that fluctuation. So I created an algorithm to kind of balance it all out and even it out and say, okay, well, this person watched YouTube this week instead of downloading it or whatever else. And kind of, you know, flow through that and see how that leveled out. And I mean, it's on the rise. I call it the listener index. I think our current listener index is right around 71 or 73, and we started the year off at 49. So, I mean, it's on its way up. It's just it's really a slow burn for a lot of podcasts.
I just kind of wanted to point out really quick, DC68807 in chat asked about the Adam Curry Indiegogo for Podcaster Pro. Have you had a chance to check that out, Amos? I have not,
no.
But I've heard about it.
This is the first time hearing about it.
Yeah, he created a whole big package of how to start out podcasting, and it sets you up. I think it's like... In the chat room can tell me, I think it was like $600 something and a roundabout, but it includes a mixer, a basic mic, and it gives you kind of all the presets and everything you need. Brian Brushwood was talking about this at some point. Maybe it was pre-show Night Attack. I can't quite remember. But okay, DC68807 is checking it out. There you go. There's a link in chat. But that's something as well. I mean, if somebody would start out podcasting, but Amos, my question to you, of course, as somebody who's very experienced here, and you said it yourself, like you've got to be willing to dedicate and donate the time, like first of all, don't you have to bank several hours of you doing your own podcast to kind of get to the point where you're going to be able to really bring in some kind of revenue?
So I've had some people argue with me about this lately, but it's typically like a 4 to 6 year investment of time before you really start getting anything back if you're going to. And, you know, a lot of people will if you have name recognition beforehand, or if you have a previous project, whatever else, of course that can all shorten the time. Tom Merritt went independent and started cranking out a decent living doing it.
But that was after two
previous shows and like 8 years of actual podcasting. So
and even then he's still like grinding grinding that axe.
Oh,
making
yeah.
it happen. He almost spends twice as much time than he would have at work making this to where he can actually survive off of it.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah. Well, this is interesting. This thing. Not only that, but you 3 years in and we're still having beta gremlins. We're still having audio problems. Yeah. We're still learning.
Tom Merritt's still having audio problems, audio gremlins.
Right.
You know, honestly, Amos, one of the most wonderful things that has happened to me was about a year ago, this time, almost to the day, I had Tom mm-hmm. Merritt on my show, House of Cards, mm-hmm. on the British Tech Network with Roberto Villegas. And by the way, we start live streaming tomorrow, the new season.
I didn't want to spoil it for anybody, but oh, how fantastic is this season?
Yeah. Oh,
oh my God. Sorry. I'm going to geek out right now. Dude, this season has just blown me away, and it is so following exactly where I was hoping Underwood would go.
It is so much better than expected, for sure. And if you want to be a guest, you're more than welcome. However, a year ago at this time, I had Tom Merritt on, and I saved it up to the end because I wanted to get Tom Merritt on the perfect time for our show. Mm-hmm. And we were on the British Tech Network, and I had horrible tech problems. And Tom said to me, "Hey, this happened to me yesterday with Scott Johnson. Like, you've got the same problem that he had with Skype. Like, this is just something that just happens. Like, you're going to have these problems. This is the nature of podcasting." Like, and to hear him say that, I just kind of said, hell yeah, he's absolutely right. It is the nature of podcasting. It's what we do. Like, you can't account for what your ISP is going to do at any certain moment. You can't account for any other failures that are going to happen. You can't account for that Windows update that's going to happen, like, in the middle of your show. Like, it's going to happen, and it happens to the best of us. Hmm. So, you know, like, that was, like, the most comforting thing I have ever heard. And it made me relax so much that I stopped podcasting.
This is so good. This is so awesome. I feel so good about the work I've done. I'm just not going to do any more because
I continued on. I mean, I have a show tomorrow, but you know,
yeah,
it's going to be 10 a.m. Central, whatever time that is in your world.
So have you watched the whole season yet?
I'm on episode 9. Oh, my co-host Roberto goes week by week. I wanted to go week by week, but I particularly tried to hold out. Mm. But the season is so great. And I like there's a episode of Court Killers where Tom Merritt says, news alert, Jackie Hearn and Jatt, host of the House of Cards on the British Tech Network, says she's going to give up on the House of Cards if this is not the last season. I was so ready to let this show go, but it's so good right now. This season is so good.
They really got over that season three hump.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Anyways.
What the hell's his damn name? I can never remember his
Kevin
name.
Kevin Spacey?
Yes, Kevin Spacey has said that this is the best House of Cards season. Yeah.
It is.
Yet.
It is.
Oh, you could tell everybody on that show is just giving everything it all.
I haven't seen a single bit of the season.
There's no news whatsoever if this is the final season, but it may well be the final season, and I think that's why we got the delay in the release and you know, there could have been some extra, you know, just, you know, it doesn't necessarily completely reflect Donald Trump or the new administration in any way. Like, the election scenario is completely different, but
yeah.
God
how
damn
crazy,
it.
How crazy was the end of the last season on predicting how this election season would go? Like, there were certain points. It was like they're reading the damn House of Cards script. That's what's going on right now.
I know. It's crazy.
I was saying that all throughout last year's, because a lot of us, like, for the longest time, a lot of us were saying that it's patterned after the Clintons. This is what the Clintons were supposed to do.
And they
went away from the BBC show, and they really patterned it after the Clintons. And then they said, nope. Mm-hmm. This really isn't about how the Clintons should have done it. This is really what politics
it's about the
in
Underwoods.
America is now. Yeah,
it's about the Underwoods. But this is a whole other story on its own. But it's absolutely fantastic. But it still brings in elements of election corruption and all of the crap that we face in this country. In the United States, in a great way that goes beyond political boundaries. Mm. Like, it doesn't matter what side you're on. It really just shows that horrible corruption that exists in Washington, regardless of what side you're on.
Exactly, and it's just been so fantastic. I'm trying very carefully for those who haven't even gotten close to this season not to get spoiled. Because season 4 was just as great, and it just so blends so seamlessly. But I do know that one of the reasons for the huge delay was because of the potential writer's strike. And everybody just went, well, we're delaying it, releasing on everything until we find out what's going on. Because we may need these shows to fill that massive gap that's going to be coming in September because of the strike. And
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But I know that was one of the major delays. I do know that every time everybody's been asked about next season, they're being hush-hush about it, but they've been like that through the entire series. There was never really supposed to be a season 2. It was supposed to be a single series, and then it did so well, they said, okay, let's do a season 2. And it's just been feeling their way, and it's like, okay, we can, you know, go, and each season is a maybe not. And that's why it's so fantastic when there's a new season.
This is, including the first season, the second season, I guess. This is the first time, I believe, the following season wasn't announced prior to the release of the current season. So before season 1 came out, they announced a season 2. Like a week before or 3 days before it came out. And then it's followed that trend all the way through until now. And this is, I'm pretty sure this is the first time we don't have an announcement for the next season before season started. So
you're absolutely right.
That's one of, I could, and yes, Jackie, as we've talked before, I could totally geek out on some House Cards because it's just amazing. Like, give me a reason to watch it again, right?
Man, dude, then yes, you guys, either one of you, if you want a guest. And I'm very excited that my co-host Roberto Villegas, he's so excited about it as well. Mm. Like, he's been sending me these messages, and before, like, I felt like he was doing me a favor, you know, by co-hosting. But it's an exciting season. So, hell yes. Anytime you guys want a guest at any point, like. We're gonna try to move through it, I think, pretty quickly. But again, that depends on Roberto and BTN. We're on the British Tech Network. By the way, if you guys are not familiar with the British Tech Network, go check them out. They do some wonderful tech news on all ends of the spectrum. They've got a Mac show, the Big Show. They do all kinds of stuff. And so you go to British Tech Network. British Tech Network.
Wait. How do you spell that? Is it BRITISHNETETNETETWERK?
I can't spell
AZ, FY2, Apple 3.
I haven't been able to spell anything else. It is BRITISHTECH.
She's saying like a cheerleader.
NET. Oh yeah. Okay. All right. Let me go get my. Oh, actually, I don't have pom poms, but because I was never a cheerleader.
Can you spell that out in smoke signals with some flags?
All right.
Yeah, I'm about to drop it in the old
Well, yeah. that would be my one plug for today. Fifth plug.
Depending on how you're counting, right? Like depending on.
I don't think that first plug was really a plug. It was just a sly mention.
Okay, fine. Guys, I don't want to hold up your show because I know you probably have wrapping up to do and stuff.
Hold up
and...
what show? There is no show. It's just us.
Yes, this is the beauty of not doing a show, just doing a thing.
I came in with some geek news on Wonder Woman. You guys poo pooed that.
I tried to go forward with it. I tried. You dropped it. I'm all about going off because I am excited that they actually finally got Wonder Woman right after the failed show that they tried to do. And the only reason it's failed because CBS got scared and said, oh wait a minute. And there's the ball and they dropped it. It could have been fantastic. They had excellent casting. I saw some of the spec scripts. It was about to be beautiful. And they dropped it. And it's taken this long to finally get a great story for her. Hmm.
Yeah, that is kind of sad that it took this long.
I think maybe because I'm not the comic book geek that I always wanted to be, all these movies seem awesome to me. Like I don't feel like there's baggage. Like I watched the Superman versus Batman.
Yeah,
I didn't watch the Superman movie before that. I just didn't watch it. I didn't like Dark Knight. Like all three of them, I just did not like them. But Superman versus Batman, I enjoyed it. I thought it was good.
You did not watch Man of Steel.
I did not. And it wasn't because I was avoiding it. It's just, I think I was deployed when it came out and like, you know, whatever. Sure. Like, I just didn't care enough. So.
I choke you still, man. I choke you.
My first foray into all this is the Superman versus Batman. And, I just use my force shield to defend your force choke and it's okay. So
here's the thing, Jackie. This has been going on since we first met, since the day we've met. I've always been a comic fan. I mean, I'm sitting here right now with my Secret Origins that I just finally finished reading again for the seventh time.
Snap.
And he's always been so anti-comic. I mean, that is not funny, but he will sit there and quote Star Wars at a second's notice and still say, oh, but I'm not a geek.
I don't know about all that.
Yeah, this is the same guy that used to. Like,
I hate to break it to you, Amos, but you are a geek.
three copies of the first edition, first issue of Nintendo Power. One that I got as my subscription. One that I got as a free trial that wasn't the full thing. It was like a slimmed down version. And then the one that I bought because I didn't know that my subscription had gone through in time.
Speaking of which, I'm not sure if you can actually see this, but I finally picked up the Stand Omnibus. Remember when you got me to read that damn book?
Yes. It's...
I mean...
It's an amazing book. It's quintessential Stephen King. Like if you haven't read that book, then I don't know what you're doing in the Stephen King world. I know everybody says Dark Tower and this and that. The Stand is like The Stand is everything that is Stephen King in one amazing, huge story that still doesn't have an end. Like Stephen King can't write the ending of a book to save his goddamn life. Like he gets bored at the 80% mark. By the 90%, he's just done with it, and then it shows because the end. Like every Stephen King book ever ends in a single chapter. It's like, okay, well, let's wrap shit up, call it done. Okay, we're out of here.
The only problem I've ever had with King is, although I love going into detail on things, he will sit there and he will focus on the exact number of nose hairs in his characters' noses. and it draws out, there's like 20 pages about someone's pimple on their forehead. They're completely wasted. It's like, come on, get through it. And then, but somehow at the same time, he will still suck you in and still make you freaked out every time Tony sneezes. I'm serious. I
think it's amazing that way, because he uses, it's like this art of detail distraction. He gives you a bunch of details about something you don't know you should care about. So you kind of blow it off and then come find out later that one of those damn nose hairs ended up being the DNA sample that they needed to finally figure out who killed the little girl four generations ago. Like, it's, you know, I love his storytelling. I think it is was the first book that I read that really changed my mind on how books can be written. With the different formats and the different way that, you know, how it was presented. And I just think the endings are fucking shit. Like, he needs to write 80% of a book and then hand it off to his son. Like, that's what he needs to do. Or hand it off to Margaret Weiss, or hand it off to Dark Redeemer, or give it to somebody to finish. Because holy shit.
I used to call it the M. Night Shyamalan syndrome, but yeah, no, it's really the Stephen King syndrome, where you got 90% of an excellent, excellent story, but blow it all just in the last 10 minutes of reading, or in the last like 7 pages. Like, what the hell is this?
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, that's Stephen King for you. Once you've read a few of his novels, you know that going in. So you just, you look at a book and you're like, oh yeah, this is going to be great until right here. This part's going to be lame, but the rest of this is going to be great. So.
You see, Jackie, now you notice, I did try to bring back the Wonder Woman awesomeness, right? Yes. We tried hard.
But then he also was the one that distracted it from you know, started fucking geek shaming me and stuff by not liking comic books. So.
Yeah, but $10 says you still know the full stats of the Eye of the Beholder.
No, you mean Beholderkin and no. I only ever had one in my campaign, and the PCs never found it. So
yeah, I know.
Yeah, I can tell you all about Chromatic versus Metallic Dragons, though. Like, my geek cred is there. I am sitting in front of a bookshelves full of Dragonlance novels and. I got Edgar Allan Poe's compendium and Stephen King Shakespeare's compendium as well. So it's all there.
Okay. So Jackie, what do you geek out over? I know House of Cards is one of them, but what was your childhood geekdom then?
Okay. So I'm gonna guess, because I know a lot of your adult geekness.
Mr. Show and all that stuff.
That's because he was sexy.
I never watched Mr. Show.
You said you're gonna guess?
Yeah, I'm gonna try to guess your childhood geekness. Like, okay. What was your geek? I'm gonna cut out like dolls and things like that, because it didn't seem like that was something that was overly prominent.
I had one Barbie doll, and I lit it on fire, and it was a kissing Barbie, and it had a back that you would press to make it kiss, and I chased my brother around. We had this fireplace that had, like, a circle thing. I chased him around it with trying to kiss him, and he's like, stop it! I don't know! Stop it!
That sounds... That sounds
and
funny.
And then I burned it, and then he ripped the head off of it.
I'm going to say that your childhood geek was. I'm going to say it was Hanna-Barbera cartoons.
Oh my god! No.
That's a good one. No, don't answer yet. Don't answer yet, because I want to throw my hat in this ring, because I'm going to ask
chat room. Chat room, if you think you know what Jackie Hearn's childhood geek was, pop it in chat room.
I'm pretty sure I've covered it.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you probably have, but I'm going to ask you three questions, because that's going to lead me. Were you a big reader? Did you read like a lot of books, or did you have a couple of favorites?
Sure. Not the ones you would expect, but sure.
Okay. Oh, God damn it.
So, if you had to choose Brendan Lee, because I think you know who that is, or Chuck Norris, who would you go for? Who would be the better action hero?
Brendan Lee? Chuck Norris, absolutely fucking no way. Brendan Lee? I gotta look up. Is it the... But
okay,
is he the dude that died during
The Crow?
Yeah,
The Crow. Oh, I guess I would go his direction because I was kind of upset when he died.
Yeah. Okay. Then. Okay.
I still haven't seen the movie, by the way.
Who was your all-time favorite band in high school?
Flock of Seagulls.
Shush! Don't tell my secrets.
Not that old.
Fuck you, I am.
Anytime someone asks that question, that's always what comes to mind is Flock of Seagulls.
Flock of Seagulls.
How about this? How about I will say that I saw Nirvana about a month before Kurt Cobain committed suicide.
I think you were a fan of Jimmy the Homicidal Maniac comics. At least if not, you would have. I think you were on the dark gothy side. You probably liked Vampire the Masquerade, if I'm not mistaken.
I did.
No. I mean I was goth in like elementary school. Like I was big in like
I'm not barking up the wrong tree there.
You're not. But around that time, I guess 93, 94, 95, or the mid 90s, I was big into Fantagraphics, and I had a friend who actually worked for Fantagraphics, who did colorization, and so I was into some kind of like sort of obscure sort of comics at that time. There was one called Hate. And,
yeah, Hate was awesome. Mouse.
And there was one with a girl. There became a movie, and then once it became a movie, Tank Girl.
Became
a fucking movie at that time, and I was like, "Fuck that! I can't be a part of that anymore."
Okay. Like, so,
movies are too mainstream. I'm out.
What?
That's it. Shitty movies are too mainstream. I'm out.
Yeah, right. I know. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, I liked Laurie and Nut. I loved it. Oh, I still watch it. I still put it on. Oh, that movie was fantastic.
So Dark Redeemer's really... thrown out there, Sesame Street, Muppet Show, and Fraggle Rock.
I'm definitely down with Fraggle Rock. You know what? Honestly, all of those Muppet-type shows, I became... far more interested in the last like 10 years when I got into wanting to do comedy with puppets.
Mm. Okay. So what was your childhood geek? What was the thing that you couldn't get a hold of?
I don't know. I mean, I guess Star Wars and DC Comics.
My second guess was being the only 13-year-old on the playground reading romance novels. So yeah.
Wait. Not romance novels, but Little House in the Prairie.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. I would have followed with you if you said Anna Green Gables, but Little House on a Prairie, I revoke your geek card.
You're talking about the books or the TV show?
You haven't read all of the Laura Ingalls Wilder stories.
I couldn't. They're painful. You're talking about the guy where reading those, it's like, that's my Aunt Debbie, Ruth, that's my Aunt Doris, that's my Aunt June, that's my Uncle Bobby Lee, that's my Uncle Bobby Joe, that's my Uncle Bobby.
I was growing up in the hot, humid Florida, And I loved reading the stories of these people stuck out in the cold, like for months, like surrounded under ice and, you know, like, you know, trying to collect firewood. Pa, did you get the firewood? Like, I mean, I'm talking about when I'm like in like the third grade. I'm not talking about like, I'm talking about young. Jackie,
I guess that was what my issue was, because I grew up with that. And Amos could tell you, I got country folk where, yes, my aunt's biggest thing was, see, look at me, pop out my teeth. And she sounded just like that. And it's like, go grab me some of that teeth gum.
No, but the Little House in the Prairie people, they weren't rednecks. I mean, they were
redneck, but it was still that whole.
No, they didn't pull out their teeth. They didn't have teeth to pull out.
So I was playing total left field here. I was playing Division this weekend, and this kid on there was. So we play challenging mode, which I like to do with voice, because then you can actually say, hey, there's somebody there. The shotgun guy got past me or whatever else. It just adds the game, makes it easier. This kid's on there talking about, oh, man, I'm eating this Big League Chew. I'm going to put the whole bag of Big League Chew in my mouth. I'm just tearing through this Big League Chew. And I'm like, he's like, do you remember Big League Chew? And I'm sitting there thinking, Matt, what?
Big League Chew.
Yeah, the stringy bubble gum that you would take a handful, try to shove it in your mouth,
and accidentally get this big on.
Sold next to the little bubble dipstick
tape.
Thing.
Bubble gum the bubble tape.
Yep, dipsticks, yep.
Mm-hmm. Holy shit.
Yeah, he was talking about how much Big League Chew. And it reminded me of the time that lady was out there on the beach at Myrtle Beach talking about how she can put a whole can of Chew in her mouth. I was like, oh, you're just so disgusting right now. Man, I've been dipping since I was five. I can put a whole can in my mouth. Like,
what?
Yeah, so gross.
I remember my cousin's first chop, and he would actually, my grandpa would actually have like a brick of chop where you would actually bite off a brick of it. And then he would pass it around to any kid who wanted it. He's like, you want some chow? And I was like, oh, hell no. I didn't smell that, and I got sick. Mm. But my cousin just grabbed it. All of a sudden, you just see it dribble down. It's like, dude, seriously? And to this day, still has, like, chubby teeth. So it's like this growth here because he chews so much chow. And he still chews it. And it's like, how does a woman kiss you? When you looks like you're bleeding alien goo out of your mouth.
I think these are all thoughts and images none of us want in this episode of this podcast, regardless of how call-in episode-y it is.
Just doing my job for you.
No. I appreciate that.
Disturbing people's dreams in 1976.
Oh, yeah. Jesus. Gotcha. But Dark Redeemer pointed out something that I talked about on a podcast called the Elts Nerds. If you guys haven't checked that out, you guys should be on that show too. Dark Redeemer pointed out the Dark Crystal series. Are you guys a fan of that? Because that's a puppet thing that I could talk about for you.
We actually, I think, talked about it last week on the show. But yeah, that's going to be amazing. Like, I'm just very happy that it's back, and it the pictures that I've seen, it seems like they are giving it a proper treatment, and that's always exciting when you have a classic property like that with a fresh coat of paint, but still with the same treatment. And this is a prequel, I believe, like 10 or 20 years prior to the original.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And Fizzgig has to be in it. Fizzgig.
Yeah,
I really hope they follow more towards like the Secret of Nim way of doing it than the original Dark Crystal. I loved the visuals of Dark Crystal. Oh my god, it haunted my nightmares for 3 years. Like I could not even look at the poster without freaking out because that movie really tore me up. But after reading it, I was like, oh, this could have been fantastic. And then going back and watching it again, I was like, God, they softened it up so much. So I'm really hoping with this, they kind of they don't Ferngully it, but Secret of Nimit, if that's understandable.
Look, not everything needs to be R-rated.
Right.
Well, I'm not saying R-rated. No, that's what I mean. Secret of Nim kept it on the G side, but kept it truthful, gave it some depth, gave it some soul.
When's the last time you watched Secret of Nim?
I don't know what. 15 years ago, it's the last time I watched it.
You know that, you know, when you're watching a movie, especially an animated movie, there's certain lulls, right? Especially right in the middle, there's a lull where you're kind of like, okay, you're comfortable, you're not meeting anybody new. You know what this twist is, and you got to kind of ramp up, right? That movie has like four lulls, and it's a fun movie. It's got it's an amazing story, but there are certain points in the movie you're just like, can I just get a skip 10-minute button on my remote? And
that's because your ADD is different from my ADD.
It probably is my ADD and my OCD.
Well, and I mean, and also it has to do with like the time period, like when you're watching it. Like, I mean, I definitely saw The Dark Crystal when I was a kid, and then I watched it again like about a week ago or 2 weeks ago when I was about to be on the Elts Nerds and we were going to talk about it. I thought, well, shit, I gotta watch it again because I don't have any goddamn memory of it, really.
Yeah.
I went back and watched it, and it was so slow.
Yes.
And the puppet animation, I felt like, holy shit, I could do this. Mm. Like, you know, and like for me to feel that way as like an independent person who does puppet animation, like. You know, I could see the flaws and, you know, aligning the voice with the audio and all of that. If I could find that on my own.
It was almost like Jim Henson said, I don't care what I do. I just don't want to do another Kermit movie.
Hmm.
And he just kind of like threw this together just to make it happen.
Dark Redeemer says, The Secret of Nim is really dark movie that I had no idea how dark it was until much later. And I will completely agree with that. That is a very, very dark movie. It deals with some very heavy subjects for a cartoon. Mm. You know?
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys this then. What childhood property would you like to see done in the original style, not updated, just, you know, fresh coat of paint, but the original style?
I was just thinking about this a couple of days ago. Does anybody remember a cartoon? It was a syndicated cartoon called The Spiral Zone.
Mm-mm. No.
Find it online. I think there's some small clips or at least a intro on YouTube where you can find it. It was this kind of, it was during the 80s, right when like Mask was going on and all these like action G.I. Joe style army battles were going on. But this was kind of like you had the people inside the Spiral Zone that were all damaged and mutated, and the people outside the Spiral Zone that was not damaged and mutated, kind of war between them. But it was so politicized and actually had a nice political.
So full on 2D cartoon.
Yeah, it's a full-on 2D cartoon.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
But what it did do that's great, even though they had it was a Chinese drawn because, you know, they had to save money somewhere. But the storylines were just so fantastic, and I just missed the don't worry about all this fantastic animation. Have an excellent story style of cartoons that we had in the 80s. Mm. Where we don't care if we use the same running scene we did in episode 2, as long as the story is fantastic.
Wow, that's kind of a very obscure thing, because I looked it up and it says the first episode was September 21st, 1987, and the final episode was December 18th, 1987, the same year.
I thought it was 88. No, it was 87. It only lasted a season.
So, I mean, I'm sure they were rerunning it well into the next year on whatever network or. Wow.
Either that or Groovy Ghoulies.
You want to talk about reusing some scenery? Watch the Dungeons & Dragons cartoon. Like, every forest scene is exactly the same.
Dungeons? That sounds familiar. I don't
I have that DVD on my shelf somewhere over here. I've got the entire series on DVD.
It was almost as bad as Kid Video.
And the worst part is they never released the last episode. The big reveal that was never actually released.
Yeah.
Just like the Inspector Gadget, the last episode that showed who Claw was. It was only shown on TV once. It was an off time for it to be shown, and then it didn't actually make it to the box set.
Yep.
So it's like a lost episode.
I think someone said they actually lost the episode altogether. It's sort of Doctor Who'd, where it just nobody really saved the tapes at that point.
1983 to 1985, it says on IMDb.
For Dungeons and Dragons?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is a god awful cartoon that I fucking loved it. And yes, DC 68807, they showed Claw, and Claw was the commissioner, I believe.
Yep.
But again, it only aired once. It aired at an off time, and it doesn't exist anymore. What about you, Jackie? What is the property you want reclaimed for current generations?
Somebody asked me about this the other day because I talked about my superheroes, and you know, I mentioned Wonder Woman was one I dressed up as in costume, but my favorite DC superhero, and I'm not telling you this is what I want recreated. If anything that I want recreated, it would be Mr. Show with Bob and David. But they did that on Netflix for a while, and it may come back, but my main DC comic female hero as a child was Mighty Isis. And I know damn well there is not a chance in hell that there is going to be an Isis cartoon.
Nope.
Mighty Isis, if you don't know.
Even the Greeks and Romans are like, no Isis.
Yeah. Most people don't know
those Egyptians.
Okay, so you get it. She was an anthropologist, and like, you know, she had superpowers because she found some kind of archaeological or anthropologist, like, I don't know, I got something out of the ground that I put on my head, and now I've got powers.
I swear that whole like line from Suicide Squad was based on the Mighty Isis.
Wait,
because it was exactly like that, where she went into the tomb, found the vessel, broke the vessel, and in Suicide Squad, goes into the tomb, finds the vessel, breaks the vessel.
Oh my god! I haven't even watched Suicide Squad. That's crazy.
Oh, I screwed up Suicide Squad for you?
Yes. No. Yeah, you did. But that's okay.
It's okay. It's Suicide Squad. It really turns itself up on its own.
Are you talking about the live action, Jackie?
I'm sorry?
Is this live action you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, live action. Yeah. It was like Wonder Woman.
This is so 70s. Wasn't it 73 or whatever?
Wasn't Mighty Iris a spinoff of Shazam?
It could have been.
I don't know. What's the spinoff of Shazam? Because it used to air almost exactly after. Instead, they're supposed to call it Captain Marvel, but nobody understood that because he always said Shazam.
That could very well be. I don't know. I know I saw it in reruns. And I know that it was something that, like, was on before.
It's on YouTube. Like, every episode's on YouTube.
What, YouTube of Mighty Isis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you can find bootlegs of it.
Jesus, I'm going to go down that rabbit hole tonight.
Oh, my God. Jackie's done for the weekend.
Oh.
She's done.
Screw
episode 10 of season 5. She's on her rabbit hole. She's gone.
Yeah. I apologize, guys. We destroyed the rest of the podcast for her.
Month. I can hold out. Okay. No, honestly, I 100% intend the very next time I go to Dragon Con, that I would either, I was going to cosplay either as Mighty Isis or Wonder Woman. But, like, I can't do Wonder Woman now because...
Everybody's going to.
Exactly. Yeah. But I feel like nobody's going to be Mighty Isis. And Mighty Isis, she's an anthropologist. I'm an archivist. I just feel like
I'm just going to throw it out there that I've been watching the scene for about 30 seconds and they've used the same... Literally the same movement of these spaceships across the sky three times. The same clip.
Hey guys, I don't want to interrupt, but some of the guys in the chat have been like really bringing up some good stuff. Like whoever DC68807 Darkwing Duck. Yes, but I'd rather have Tailspin than Darkwing Duck. Mm. Tailspin was definitely the better show, I know I stand alone on that.
DuckTales.
But I will still stand mighty on that.
DuckTales.
One.
Hand and fist over everything else that was on TV at that time. DuckTales.
Yes. DuckTales and Tailspin were always the best of the two. Pirates of Darkwater. Thank you, Dark Redeemer, for reminding me of that. That was such an excellent show. And he also said that Captain Marvel could not be called Captain Marvel because of the Marvel Comics lawsuit, which is also why they also had problems with the Incredible Hulk. With calling him Bruce Banner and not David, calling him David Banner instead of Bruce Banner.
Hmm. And for the record, my throwback that I would want to see come back, and this should come as no surprise to anyone who knows me. I want to see, even if it was like a, because it was almost there with Stranger Things, really had that feel to it, and I just wanted more specific. To be an actual like reboot or recreation of the fucking Goonies.
Oh my
I want to see Kevin Spacey take on the fucking Goonies on a Netflix 10 episode run.
No, I refuse. No, I vote veto that. Do not fuck with the Goonies. It was perfect the way it was. The fact there is no sequel with the ship.
Everything
gets a sequel.
Yeah, nothing is sacred, dude.
Everything gets a sequel.
Nothing is sacred. Look, I get red in my beard and no hair in my head. Nothing is sacred, all right? So that's what I want. I want to see a reboot. It can even be the same story, just expanded on and turned into a 10-hour Netflix or HBO series done with the right people and the right way with the money.
How can you improve with the truffle shuffle?
Sorry.
You cannot improve on the truffle shuffle. You can't.
Oh, I've done the truffle shuffle. It's the same regardless. Know what you're saying, Jackie?
No, I'm just saying that, like, it just has to be done right.
Yeah.
And there's no avoiding it. It will happen.
Yeah.
It's got to happen.
Yeah, it's just...
Actually, Amos, if it doesn't happen in our, like, midlife crisis era, it won't happen.
Well, that's probably true, just because it was so specific to early 80s kids.
Yeah, it was like 1984, 85.
Yeah, but so good. And I watched that movie every Saturday morning when cartoons went off the air, and I watched it once or twice every Saturday. I watched it so much, I literally wore through the VHS dub from HBO that we had. And it was recorded in slow. It was recorded in the slow recording, not the 6 hours per tape, the 2 hours per tape. It was a special tape just with Goonies on it, and I wore through at least two copies of it.
I've bought that movie 17 times on every format. I even had it on
DVD
at one point.
Did you watch the DVD with the behind the scenes and like halfway through it, Sean Astin leaves and never comes back and they don't even realize he's gone?
Yeah. Oh, it was great. The commentary. Yeah. It's like, wait a minute. Where'd he go?
1985.
I had to look it up because I fucking love Cyndi Lauper. And I had to find out what the song. It was Good Enough.
Good Enough.
Good Enough.
Yeah. With Captain Lou Albano. And the Iron Sheik.
Actually. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say Captain Lou Albano and Iron Sheik were like her family members or whatever. And they did two of them. They did two videos for it because
they had one movie specific one, and then they had the one that was wrestling specific.
Right. I mean, it was at the same time as Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Right.
And but they were, like, Cyndi Lauper's dad was that wrestling guy.
Well, she got the storyline went. She at that time they were starting up the rock and wrestling. Get up where Yeah. So her storyline was
Captain Lou Albano
was her uncle.
Yeah.
And that's how that started happening. While you saw all those music videos with him in them, and then they started to do like the Land of a Thousand Dances with all the wrestlers, and then the cartoon came out shortly thereafter.
Oh God, the cartoon was horrid.
Oh
yeah,
the damn cartoon and Fat Albert, like it was all the same art, and it could have been the same.
Yeah, it was Hulk Hogan and WWF Superstars, I think it was called.
What were you saying, Jackie?
No. I was just thinking about the Cyndi Lauper videos with the wrestling dude. And I thought the other one was like something about I've got a hole in my heart and it goes all the way to China.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that sounds familiar, but I don't know which one. Anyways, but I think some of the wrestling dudes were in that as well.
Time After Time, still one of my top 20 songs.
Oh, God, yeah. I love this song. Fuck yeah. She's amazing. You know, yeah.
I must be the weirdest person. I was never a Cyndi. I never really got Cyndi Lauper that well. I love True Colors. God, it was a fantastic song, but
I didn't get her wrestling thing, but I always felt like she was hijacked or something.
I thought she was way entirely too high for the time. I mean, she had to be on some crazy ass stuff for all the stuff she was doing, but no. She just knew how to market herself and how to market herself better than Madonna did.
She was the female Boy George. She was the more feminine Boy George.
Yep. that's very true.
So
I don't want to date myself anymore. So I'm going to stop.
Apparently, DuckTales is coming back this summer or maybe early next year. And then Dark Redeemer says all the old Disney shows, Tailspin. All right, DuckTales, woohoo! Darkwing Duck. I never really got into Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers. It was a better video game than a cartoon. Never watched the Gummy Bears. Goof Troop, wasn't into. Aladdin, I thought was just an extension of the movie, and at the time, I didn't really care for
it
the movie that much.
With the movie.
Never watched Gargoyles, and the Mighty Ducks completely lost on me.
What?
Yep.
Bull, I know you watched Gargoyles, because I sat in your house, in your apartment, when you got grounded and you were hiding me away from your mom because she came home early for lunch that day, and we actually sat and watched it together.
That was like every day I was hiding from my mom.
That's true, but that's beside the fact. But I know you watched Gargoyles, and you like Gargoyles. You just didn't like the fact that you couldn't go back and watch it from the beginning, which is what you were upset about.
Now I gotta look it up.
This has been like a mind-blowing time zone or time travel theme that you guys are sending me on here. Like, this has been amazing.
That's our job.
94 to 90. No, I don't know. Shit, I don't know.
But no, I'm happy that DuckTales is coming back, and I love the fact that that David Tennant is going to be in it because he's a fantastic actor. I loved him ever since the first time I saw him in the Doctor, hence why I'm wearing my Doctor Who gear. And that pisses Amos off because he doesn't like Doctor Who.
I celebrate you celebrating your geekness. I'm good with that. Just don't try to give me a guilt trip about not watching this shit because it just makes me less likely to watch it. Like, it's self detrimental for you to do that, but whatever.
You want to paint a big blue and white door on your face?
I don't care. Paint a big blue and white face on your door on your face. I don't give a damn. It's whatever.
And this is the same person that would browbeat us to death if we didn't even think about reading a Dragon's Lance book. How dare you not read Dragon's Lance?
No, that's still true. Like, that's if you haven't read any Dragonlance, you should really reconsider your process in life. I've got some you could borrow, like that entire area there.
I tell you what, I will read Dragon's Lance if you will start watching The Doctor.
Oh, well, then you're just going to have to be a lesser of a man for not having read Dragonlance. This has been awesome. It's been 2 hours. I think I should let the stream go because I don't want the Muffin Man getting pissed off because I'm not even doing a show and I'm clogging up the tubes.
Shout out to Sergeant Muffin, who's been awesome to allow us to do this.
Yeah.
Bows to Sergeant Muffin, sir.
So, Sean, where can people find more about you? Since I'm probably going to release this as just a shoot in the shit kind of thing for, you know, no other purpose than to have something to throw in the feed this week. Where can people catch up?
Honestly,
on you,
I wish you luck in trying to find me because I don't have a Twitter. I got a Facebook that I don't check. I don't do videos anymore, so I don't have anything. I'm like the person that 2005 left behind.
Wow. And so Sean, Squid in the chat doesn't want to be seen. Jackie, how about yourself?
Oh, I should skedaddle. I'm a Colin. I don't matter. I'm Dad Jackie here in 81. Doesn't matter. Thank you.
Technically, Sean's a Colin as well. So,
yeah.
Well, okay. So tomorrow, if you are up at 9 a.m. No, wait, 10 a.m. Central. And you watch House of Cards. Roberto Villegas and I are going to be broadcasting that, I believe, on the British Tech Network or on Twitch or somewhere or maybe Diamond Globe. I don't know, like for 15 minutes. So
if we can't watch live, where can we download it?
BritishTechNetwork.com.
Look at that. Real quick, name checker. That's name checker with the last E taken off because that's totally in vogue. Cruise on by there, and it'll actually tell you what if your name is available. And Sean, Squid Sucker is available on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, YouTube, Feedburner, and .org.net and .com. Just not .io, which makes me wonder why not.
Are
the
you
.io.
Trying to tell me to connect with the times and to actually like become part of, be one of you?
One of us.
Soylent Green is people. People, Soylent is people.
So, and yeah, there's all that. So, thank you guys very much. And of course, all the normal ritual misery stuff. If you wanted to see other episodes that are nothing like this one,
the good stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I really like this format of just calling in and shooting the shit about whatever chat room comes up. I really wish we
maybe you should have an extra show like once a month, like just all on the
wife who hates me doing podcasts because it takes up so much of my time actually said I'm going to have to start up my own show and it's going to have to just be whatever I come up with so that I'm not relying on anybody else.
So Amos, where can people go so they can participate in Patreon so they can actually do the same thing?
Fuck yeah. Sorry.
I'm not sure what we were going for there, but Patreon, actually just go to ritualmisery.com/support. That's just, I'm going to take the Tom Merritt way. Ritualmisery.com/support. Well, you'll find out all the different ways you can support our show.
I'm going to expand it a little further, and I'm going to say that there's also patreon.com/ritualmisery. And I'll add to that because this month I had to like change up my Patreon support a little bit. And one of the great things is that you can do month by month, or you can do week by week. If you have to, sometimes. But the bottom line is, if you got a buck, go in there. Send them a buck. Like,
that reminds
you know,
me, I need to raise mine a bit.
That's not what I was saying.
Yeah, if you're currently giving to ritualmisery.com/support,
every little bit counts.
Go in there and trim that down. We are doing far too little to earn your dollars on this show right here.
But if you give $1,099, you too can
be
an intern.
What I'm saying. What I'm saying is, dude, there is a Patreon option for you regardless of your situation. So whatever you got, give it if you can. Like, I mean, I don't know. Like that's one of the great things about it is you pay for it and then it comes back your way in some way, and it's help the community out.
I spoke to someone this week, which I'm not going to mention off the top because I don't know if it's going to make the show or not. But they were talking about how they were completely anti Patreon, and you have the people that are like, I'm not doing this to get paid. He was specifically going out of his way to make sure there was no affiliates or anything else for him and his co-hosts, so that it was a hobby thing and there was no money changing hands or anything else.
And what the fuck?
Yeah.
Well, it keeps him honest. It keeps him honest. He's not trying to pander and say, do exactly what we're doing, which is,
but,
guys, give us a dollar, please, to keep
going. But I guarantee you that anybody I've supported or anybody that I know, like, nobody is using Patreon as their livelihood. Like, what Patreon has become for most of us is it's kind of a way just to sort of network of creatives. Yeah. All of us creatives that do something. Like, you give me, like, honestly, like, this month, like, it will say on my Patreon that I have $36, where I'm only getting maybe a dollar if I'm lucky, because I'm going back and supporting anyone. If someone gives me a dollar, I give them a dollar back. Mm-hmm. But that's not the point of it. The point of it is that one of us is going to do something that's going to be great, and we're going to, you know, you might get the attention in a certain direction. So it has nothing to do about making money. I mean, none of us are Tom Merritt. Like, right. You know, I mean.
I love how everybody compares this to Tom Merritt. Yeah, he's awesome, but you guys are.
Tom Merritt was the first person to kick off Patreon.
Tom Merritt is the podfather.
Tom Merritt is awesome. I will never detract from Tom Merritt. Tom Merritt is a godsend because I listen to him constantly.
Patreon's a thing because of Tom Merritt. I'm just saying.
But you guys got to realize, and this goes to you, Jackie, and also to you, Amy, you, as a person sitting on the sidelines going, oh, wow, I'm just going to be a friend and listen, I'm sitting there and I'm listening to you guys more than I listen to Nerdist. I listen to you guys. I had to like do a podcast like trash day and just clean out my podcast. And I noticed that I got you on there. I do got Schwood on there. I got Ritual Misery on there. And you guys are actually holding my interest better than 90% of these other shows out there. There's so much junk out there that shout yourselves out. Give yourselves a pat on the back. Please stop like beating yourselves up because you guys are that great. You can stand out there with the best.
It's a pod sweep, by the way.
I appreciate that. And I know you're not talking about my 15,000 podcasts, but you're definitely talking about Ritual Misery. And they're the guys that definitely deserve the support. And
for the record, my mixer is like dying, so that's where the next Patreon purchase is going to go, is to my mixer, because I almost lost two interviews today because of my mixer. And I wish I was joking. I wish I was joking about that.
Well, I tell you what, I'll pitch in a little extra and make sure that it doesn't hit your pocket too hard, man.
Patreon.com/ritualmiseryguys. Go do it.
What about patreon.com/JackieHearn?
Whatever. Yeah.
It's a thing.
Whatever. You see, come on, take.
No,
take
no, this. No. You know, honestly, I'm not. I'm just like I'm kind of in a lull with it right now because I'm about to do a bunch of amazing stuff, and when I get there, you better believe that's every word that's going to come out of my mouth. But right now, it doesn't matter. And instead, screw that. Go over to Ritual Misery. Send your bucks that way for now.
All right. So let's call it a day and maybe pick a title for whatever this episode isn't. the episode that was not the so we have Stephen King Can't Finish the Story, Animated Childhood Memories, Shaun of Shaun, and calling this one in.
I wonder who put that one up. It sure wasn't me. Never catch me spelling with an SH. Oh, no Irishman alive would do that right.
Sorry.
No, I just got to play with you a little bit. That was awesome.
Just go with the first one. Let's give it a Dark Redeemer, man. He was...
Yeah.
That...
He stuck with us.
I like the animated childhood memories, and I like calling this one in. Those are the two that tickle my fancy.
I like only animated added childhood. Calling this one in because I knew this was not one of your regular shows, but I would say throw it to Dark Redeemer, you know, but because he was the dude, the person who
Rabbit's still here too. Give a shout out to Rabbit. Rabbit stated Rabbit was one of the first ones to log on.
Why don't we leave it to Rabbit Magic to decide?
Okay, Rabbit, you tell us what's gonna happen.
Go vote. Go vote, Rabbit.
And there's here. Groove. Like, we still got some people in there.
Oh yeah.
It amazes me that so let me check real quick. I always mean to do this during the show, which is another thing we could have an intern do. When I say intern, it's more of a volunteer. But we have 19 people watching live right now.
All right.
We have 3 people watching jury and 14 people just watching the DC TV stream.
Hey, Amos, I totally forgot to bring this up earlier because I wanted to ask you talk to you about this. Remember how when we were young, we would go over to Louisiana House a bit for the comedy nights? My dad would drag us over there and let us, like, hang out, and we could watch the comedy nights from the back of the room. Mm-hmm. I finally had my bomb moment. So I thought I got my britches. Like, yes, I did say britches. I know. I thought I was bigger than I am. And I thought, yeah, I can do this. An opening opened up for a trivia master to, you know, host a trivia thing. And I was like, I've done tons of things on mic. I could talk to people. All it is reading trivia questions and having a good time, right? Get up on the mic. Get stage fright so bad that I just, like, go blind. I can't even read the questions because I'm freaking out that hard. Mm. And I finally got fired within 18 minutes of having a job. It was so bad. People stood up, walked out, and said, "Please stop. I can't take this pain."
That sounds like they hadn't had enough beer. Maybe you hadn't had enough beer. Maybe both. I don't know.
I don't think anybody had enough beer for that night.
Mm. All right. I'm going to go ahead and kill the stream.
Okay. Well, yeah.
It's got to be done eventually, and I've had Channel 1.
No. I was going to bounce and then let you guys close it up, but you know what? I'm going to bounce. Let you guys close it up.
I thought this was like one of those moments while you're talking to your high school girlfriend or boyfriend, and you're like, no, you hang up.
No, you hang up. No,
no
you hang up.
I don't
no,
want to
you
hang
up.
You hang up.
And that's how
hung up.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.